Hello. Do you see all my wires? Yeah, so I have two microphones on me right now. Good morning. Hi. It's great to finally be here with you. It feels like we've been kind of preparing for as long as I can remember, doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah, and we kind of have been. I think I first learned about you and the congregation in October of last year. I think that's when I received your paperwork. So through persistence and God's blessings, here we are. So let's just take a moment and breathe. At least I need it. And we'll pray. Gracious Lord God, we give you thanks for this time. We pray that you bless us with your Spirit's presence as we continue to unfold your word and notice how you are stirring and working within the world. In Jesus' name. Amen. So the kids oriented me a little bit to all the crosses, particularly in the sanctuary, right? And other signs and symbols of how God is up to good things and reminding us of that love that we have unconditionally for us. I'm excited to not only be oriented to the signs and symbols in the sanctuary, but also to what's happening in your lives as we continue to share and I learn about you and I hear stories of what God's up to in your life. Because all of that makes up what we're about together as a congregation. And from what I hear, it was nearly 10 years ago, if not maybe a little longer, that you started a really intentional discernment time, right? Talking about what's the future of LCH. How are we to be about being God's people in Honolulu and these corners of these streets? Punahou, as I'm learning, not Punahou, right? How? Yeah, I'm learning. So how are we to be God's people here in this place? Well, 10 years ago, you never would have dreamed, right, that you would have an associate pastor, or maybe you did. Maybe you knew, maybe you didn't, but as soon as you entered into that time of really thinking, really discerning together and praying, you opened the door for the Holy Spirit to just kind of blow in and do amazing things. That's what happens. When we start kind of wondering and dreaming, we're in union with what God is up to wondering and dreaming, and the Holy Spirit kind of takes over. So my call that God has offered and that you have offered to me as your associate pastor is to focus on youth, young adult ministry in the congregation and also on the campuses throughout this area, but also to talk about outreach and how we can ground ourselves even more into the population here, not just in the sanctuary, right, but what God's up to in the rest of Honolulu. So we'll dream together, we'll discern together. I have lots of visions and dreams about what we can and cannot do, but we'll figure out together what God's dream is. And as I was thinking about this week and thinking about this text and what I wanted to share with you, the thing that popped out for me was the wonderful story of Philip questioning Jesus. It's similar to what you could have said. Someone might have said, we should call a second pastor, an associate, to help us with these things. While our other pastor does wonderful things too, we need two people on board to really dive in with us. Some of you could have said, no way. No way can we afford two pastors. No way do we have enough resources to make that happen. Philip kind of said the same thing. Have any of you ever read Sacred Cows Make Gourmet Burgers? Yeah, I love this book. It's by William Easom. And his first chapter opens up with this quote. He says, established churches worship at the feet of the sacred cow of control. And that sacred cow of control comes in lots of different forms. But he says, a powerful controlling statement that is often heard in congregations and council meetings is, we can't afford it. Have you heard it before? So perhaps in the discernment of calling a second pastor, you did hear it. Maybe you were vocalizing it yourself. It's a normal human concern, a familiar phrase, but one that has powerful control over decisions that are made, over effective and faithful ministry, over the vision and dream of God, not just ourselves, but of God. So it's a phrase that's been around a while. Because it's basically what Philip said to Jesus, didn't he? Jesus says, where are we going to find enough food to fill everybody's bellies, right? And Philip says, well, 6 months' wages aren't going to be enough. There's not enough money, Jesus. We can't afford it. Jesus knew better, didn't he? Are we surprised? No. Jesus knew what he was talking about, and he knew that it could be done. If Jesus wants to feed the masses with only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, then it's going to be sufficient. In fact, it's going to be enough so that there's even leftovers. Kind of hard to wrap our minds around, isn't it? Just a few loaves of bread and a couple fish. Masses of people. 12 baskets of leftovers. That's the abundance of God. The ability of Jesus to make something that seems to us so small and just insurmountable to something that's extraordinary and bigger than we could ever imagine. So it could be a daunting task. And it kind of is a daunting task to say, how are we going to develop youth, young adult ministry from almost the ground up? How are we going to start that? It just can't be done. The campuses are so big, there are so many students, and we're so small, right? Or perhaps you look around the neighborhood here like I do. We're living over at St. Clement's, so there's a beautiful apartment there for us, which I'm delighted for. But I look around our neighborhood and talk about blow my mind in thinking about outreach. There's maybe, 20,000 people in just our immediate neighborhood? Well, where I lived before, I walked my dog in the neighborhood daily, sometimes multiple times a day, and people began to know who I was. Everybody knew, eventually, maybe not everybody, but many people knew who Pastor Angela was. When I started the ministry 7 years ago, they thought the church was closed. That church is still open? Really? Talk about a daunting task. Eventually, it happened. We began to be out in the neighborhood, and people knew who we were. But here I am in the neighborhood with apartment buildings, so Lord have mercy. How is it that these people are going to find out even more, if anything, about LCH? Could be a daunting task. Could be one of those things with my Philip-like faith every once in a while that comes up and says, we can't afford it, or I just can't do it, or we might say that together. But the reality is that nothing is impossible. Nothing is insurmountable with God. And of course, with our hard work, right? I heard a story recently about a family who was visiting a large city on vacation, and they drove by a park, and the park had numerous homeless people, and their young daughter was in the back seat. She's 4 years old. And she asked about the people. She said, who are they? And the mother answered, she said, those are the homeless. They don't have anything to eat, and they don't have any place to live. And the daughter said, well, frankly, why don't we feed them? Right? Why don't we feed them? Gotta love the innocence of a 4-year-old. Why don't we feed them? This childish innocence is actually a wonderful model of faith, a commanding work of the Holy Spirit working in her, and a powerful gift of pure faith, not daunted or altered by control or of adult fear or human uncertainties. She just said, why don't we feed them? Really, it's that simple. So why don't we feed them? Why don't we just make it happen? But if Jesus came to us and said, so how are you going to feed thousands of people? There are multiple ways of us making a plan about how we're going to do it, right? Because you do have to have a plan. So we might say, well, we can't afford it. We're not going to do anything. So it just gets put on the shelf for a while. Or maybe we'll form a committee, and they'll look at different options, and that committee will form another committee. And then they'll analyze the committees, right? Okay, so you get it. Everybody's nodding. I get it. Yeah. Or we'll call a publishing house, and we'll find out if there's any curriculum on that or anything that we could just kind of pull off the shelf ourselves and go through and do step by step. Or we could do what I know you're already doing, and that is to pray, to not be daunted by fear, and to ask the question that Isam asks in his book. He says, what gifts do you bring to the body of Christ, that if we equip you to use them, the body of Christ will be more whole, and so will you? That's what it's all about. It's about equipping the gifts that we already have. The work of building up the body of Christ, of sharing the good news with our neighbors and encouraging the young adult community, and whatever else that God has us do together in the next few years, all of this work will happen because we'll do it together and because God's will be. what we'll be a part of. Not the fear, not the trepidation of wondering if we have enough. So I'm thinking this morning about where you're putting yourself in the gospel message. So there's Jesus, the first part. Let's not go to the water. Let's stay on the grassy plain. Think about the story. There's Jesus talking to Philip saying, you know, feed the people. All the other disciples are there too. And then there's the masses sitting around, listening, wondering, uncertain about who this Jesus is. So where are you this morning? Are you on the grass? Are you the one serving? I think so often we get stuck by thinking we're the ones on the grassy plain being served. We're the ones being the consumers. We're the ones taking in what Jesus has to say. But really, I realize that those who are sitting on the grassy plain, those people, they're the non-believers. They're the ones that are saying, not sure if Jesus has what I need, so maybe I'll just be a fair weather fan. If I get what I want now, it's good, but later on I'll just kind of find some other prophet. I think that we're the disciples. We're the ones scattering the food, figuring out how to feed those who have gathered. We are the ones that are stewards of what Jesus has given us, offering those gifts to those who have gathered. Miracles and works of Jesus, they're all around us. They're all around us. Sometimes we notice them, sometimes we bypass them. But those biblical stories of miracles, they're wonderful, but it just isn't happening in the clouds or some far out place. The work of God is happening all the time in and through us, both here and also within the people we meet and the people we will meet. But as the kids reminded us today, there are signs and wonders of Jesus, but I think we notice them more when we get off the grass and we actually start to serve. So I'm excited to get off the grass and serve with you, to hear what you're about, to hear what God's about in and through you. Because together we'll offer the meal, both figuratively and literally. And for that I give thanks. Amen.